Parsha begins with the Chet HaMeraglim. The Meraglim were punished in a very serious way. The Bnei Yisrael were punished in a very serious way. So what exactly was the Chet of the Meraglim? Why did they not want to go into Eretz Yisrael? They were really afraid that they wouldn't win the war. So the Zohar suggests that that's not the real reason. That was just an excuse. The real reason was that they realized that they were only the Nesiim, they were the big shots, the leaders of the nation. Kozma, that they were traveling in the Midbar, and they were supplied with lechem min hashamayim, man, and everybody sitting and learning all day long because they don't have to work for a living. So they were big shots. As soon as they'll come into Eretz Yisrael, everybody will be busy in agriculture, and they'll have to appoint different Nesiim, people who know about agriculture. People know about business, whatever, not people who know about learning. And they didn't want to lose their position of leadership. That's what the Zohar says, that they had a negiah. Others give it different, not like the Zohar, others say differently, that they realized that if Bnei Yisrael would move into Eretz Yisrael, there would not be as much learning as there was when they were in the Midbar. In the Midbar, the Medrash has the expression, the Gemara has the expression, it's only possible to learn Torah if all of your panosa is taken care of. If you have to work for a living, how can you sit and learn Torah? So in the Midbar, it was a wonderful style of living. The man fell down from heaven, and everybody was able to learn. But if they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have to work, and that's terrible. So they decided that that Torah. Baruch Shalom wanted that. Baruch Shalom wanted. That's what the Chassidish one say. The Anshei Kodesh, the human leader. Baruch Shalom has enough malachim. He has a lot of angels. He wants us to be human beings, to act like human beings, and to observe the Torah as Anshei Kodesh, not to remain in this unusual state that the man is falling down from heaven. Nobody has to work for a living. That's an unusual state. So that whatever it was, the Meraglim, the 10 of the 12 Meraglim, had this attitude. Either they didn't want to lose their positions, or they felt that Rabban Shalom was making a big mistake, they know better, that the society is better the way it is in the Midbar, we should continue like that. So that was considered a serious avera. Whatever the Hezbo is considered a serious avera. They were punished because of that. Then when they came and they gave the report to Bnei Yisrael, everybody was crying. What are they crying about? They just experienced such nisim and flaws as Amakas and Kriyas Yamsuf and Maimon HaSinai. Everything is Lamaila Men HaTeva. And the Baruch Shalom promises that the conquering of Eretz Kenan, the Lamed Aleph Malachim, is also going to be Lamaila Men HaTeva. So what are they worried about if they're experiencing so many nisim and flaws? So the Baruch Shalom told them right away that he's going to Atem B'chis and B'chiyah Shalchinam and Yakva Lachem B'chiyah Shadur. The tradition has it. This was on Leil Tisha B'Av, when the Meraglim came back and they gave the negative report and everybody was crying. That night was Leil Tisha B'Av, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at that time, he's going to send the Jewish people into, when he's going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, he will destroy the Beis HaMikdash, he will send them into Golus. And the Chumash, it doesn't really say that. It just says they're going to be punished. They'll have to roam around in the Midbar for 40 years, Yom LaShana, Yom LaShana. But it doesn't really say in the Chumash. That says in the Novi Yecheskel and Tehillim. It says Beferish Denetziv. In his commentary on this week's Sedra, quotes it, that it says in Yecheskel and Tehillim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he was going to send him into Golos. That's how the Gemara says like that. But in the Tanakh it says it in Tehillim and in Yecheskel. The Netziv interprets it. Maybe that's what it means. V'imalich hayo ani v'imalich lodi as kol ha'oretz. Maybe that's what it means. I will send the Jews all over the world into Golos, and all the nations in the world will seek Kvod Hashem when they'll house the Jews in their countries. But at that time they were told that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. That's why we have a tradition that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was going to be destroyed. And he just said, Ruach HaKodesh, and the psukim and Shir HaShirim regarding the second Beis HaMikdash that would be built after the 70 years of Golus Bavel, will that be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash? He said, Baruch HaKadosh M'chaimahi Livna Alehau Tiras Kesavim Delasi Natsra Alehau Achora. So he quoted the Gemara in the first parak in Yuma. It gives an additional level of interpretation in those psukim. M'chaimahi M'yalu Kachaimah. If everybody will come back from Golus Bavel altogether, all the Jews will come back, then Ivna Leha Tiras Kesu. So the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a structure made from metal. Metal doesn't rot. The Twin Towers, they didn't rot. They burnt. They burnt them. And they melted all the metal. But it doesn't rot. Ein HaRekav Sholot Bo. So the second Beis HaMikdash will be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash. However, in Delasi, if only Dalas Ha'am will show up, hardly anybody will come. And at Shiva Sion in the days of Ezra Nechemi, then Natsra Alalu Achoris. Then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut. Shaharekav Shalabo. So the second Beis HaMikdash will right away. So that's why when Ezra Nechemi brought the people back, there was hardly anybody came back. Most of the people remained behind. So that's what the Ravid writes in Perek Vav. In Hilchas Beis Hapchiri, Yadeyahoy Ezra Sha'asar Habais Lehichorev, he says, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he already knew from the days of the Chet HaMeraglim, that's what it says in Tilim and in Yechezkel, he already knew that the Beis Rishon was Asar Lehichorev before he built it. So when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, the Rabbi writes, Yadeyahoy Ezra Sha'asar Lehichorev, and he thinks, the Rabbi thinks that Ezra was on the Mekadosh at Lizman. It's only Mekadosh the Mokam, just like he thinks that Shlomo HaMelech was only Mekadosh the Beis Rishon, that location, that latitude and longitude, that geographic location. It was only Mekadosh at Lizban for the 410 years that it's going to last. And the Mokam HaMikdash was Loi Kitcha Lo Silova. The Rambam says, not so. The Rambam says, even though Kedusha Sa'oritz was Batla at the time of Churban Beis Rishon, but Kedusha HaMikdash was never Batla. The Gemara puts the two together. The Gemara says, Toli Zedizim. In a few places, but the Tosfos in Megillah Daf Yud quotes the Rav Chaim Cohen, who says Talmud of Rav Ben Tam, says it's not necessarily Tolei Zebzei. You can distinguish in either direction. Say Kedushas HaMikdash is Kitcha Lo Silova, Kedushas Haaretz is not, and you can say the reverse. So the Rambam holds that the Kedushas HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built the first place HaMikdash was Kitcha Lo Silova, never lost the Kedusha. And the Ravid holds Vaker that even though the Kedusha Shniya of Eretz Yisrael is Kitcha Lo Silova, but the Kedushas HaMikdash the second time is only Kitcha L'Shaito. That just like Shlomo HaMelech knew the first Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, so it was only Mekadosh et Lizman, calls man that it'll be standing. So the Ravid's opinion is that when Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he only had a mind to be Mekadosh et Lizman. It's a chiddush that such a thing can exist. If you're Mekadosh and Ishin, say, I'll Mekadosh sleep for a year on a trial basis, and at the end of the year, I don't want to be married, so the Gemara says in the dorm, she still needs a get. You say kedusha loy paka bichdi kedusha yisha is compared to kedusha by korbanos. And if you magdash a korban, you say areiz this should be a korban oila for the next 30 days. So if you makrif it within the 30 days, it's a korban oila. If you wait till after 30 days, the Gemara says, what are you going to say? The kedusha disappears, vanishes into thin air. Gemara says there is no such thing. Kedusha tzaguf like paka bichdi. So the same is by kedushin, just like by kedusha. How can the Ravid say there's a pella on the Ravid? How can the Ravid say that the Kedusha HaMikdash was loikit shalasi lova, not because Churban is mevatala? The Ramban holds that Churban is mevatala Kedusha, boba pritzim v'chilalu. Ramban says it in based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, dafnin base. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel. Boba pritzim v'chilalu, when the goyim come and they defile the Beis HaMikdash, they use it for Avodah Zarah purposes, but they destroy it, that's mechalal the Kedusha. That's a different hesper. The Ramban holds that loikit shalasi lovei for a different reason, but the Rabbi holds loikit shalasi lovei because when Ezra built it, he only had in mind the first few 100 years, as long as it's going to be lasting. So the question is there such a thing? You should say there's a group like paka bichdi. We mentioned that in the we were learning kedushin this year, so we mentioned that in the Sefer Knesset Hagdola, which is a likut of achroinim on the tour in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is a likut of Rishonim Achronim that he had up until his time. And the Knesset HaGdola had more svarim. He lived after the Beis Yosef. He has a likut of whatever the Beis Yosef didn't quote. So once in a while he has his own discussion. So the Knesset HaGdola discusses a Maaseh Shehayah, A man was gave a ring to a girl. He said, "I'm a kedusha sleep for a year," only to get married for a year. Then he died within the year. He left no children, so his wife needed chalitza. So the shaila is, just wait till the husband died already. So they said, just wait till the end of the year. The year is up, and then she won't need chalitza because the whole marriage will vanish into thin air. So the whole discussion, he goes on and on, the whole discussion, all the rabbanim, but the whole thing is nonsense. The whole thing is against the Gemara. What are they talking about? I don't know. That he doesn't quote from Achrenim. That's a discussion that he has. Rav Soloveitchik gave a drasha, so they just published that volume on Bamidbar. Somebody just gave it to me this week. Who? You gave it to me? Somebody gave it to me. Drach. Drach gave it to me. So they have a drasha that Rav Soloveitchik once gave about Meraglim and Liyasura Seretz Kanan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu he should send Shlach Elo HaNoshim. He didn't say L'Ragel HaSaretz. He said Liyasura Seretz Kanan. In the Haftarah from Sefer Yeshua, Yeshua sent Meraglim. Meraglim means spies to see for military purposes where are the weak spots and where are the strong spots and so on. Lasura Saaretz means to tour the land. So what was the role of the Meraglim? They weren't supposed to come big, give back a report where are the weak spots, where are the strong spots. Everything was Nisimin of Flores L'mayla Menateva. So what do they need military secret information over here for? It's going to be L'mayla Menateva anyway. The Oren HaBris is going to go in front. They're going to knock down all the enemies. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a drasha based on Pesukim and Eicha and Yirmiyah, that the relationship between the Jewish people and Eretz Yisrael is like a marriage. Eicha Yoshva Ho'yir Abasi Ho'yisoki Almano. That's one of the many Pesukim like that. Eretz Yisrael is like the Kala. The Jewish people are married to Eretz Yisrael. There's a very strong relationship. So the Gemara has a din in the first daf in the second parak in Kedushin. Also, l'kadosha sorisha ad shirena tchilo. You want to make a relationship, so you have to see what the girl looks like to make sure that you fall in love with her. That will be a good marriage. So Moshe Rabbeinu sent shlach l'cham noshim v'yasuru. They should give a report, not to give a military report. They should give a report of how wonderful Eretz Yisrael is, so the people should agree to go through with the deal. And then the people decided that they're a meraglim. They decided on their own that they're a meraglim. L'ragelosar, it's bonum. And that wasn't really the purpose. The purpose was v'yasurum. So the Jewish agency thought that drosha was gewaldig, so they printed that. Also, they said so many droshas about Eretz Yisrael, so many shurim. So for all the droshas and all the shurim, they printed that years ago. So that was the only drosha that they had. So now they just reprinted that drosha. Okay. Good. It's a beautiful kavona. I used to have a friend who lived in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Mala Galinsky. He passed away a few years ago. He used to be in Shalavim. So he used to live in Givat Shaul. So he said that in the neighborhood he had an acquaintance who was a descendant from a real Hasidic Rebbe from 200 years ago, who wrote a Ksav Yad. And this acquaintance says he has this Ksav Yad. He can't print it because people will say that it's a forgery. And the Ksav Yad, this Hasidic Rebbe, lived 200 years ago, writes that when the Dor HaMidbar was punished, they all died, so they all went to heaven, and they were all judged, and the Rebbe Shalom punished them because Masu be'eretz chemda, because they didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So they were pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should allow them to come back in this world as a Gilgal to be Mesakan the Avera that they did. It's a concept of Gilgal. Okay. That sometimes people come back, the Neshama comes back in another body in order to be Mesakan something that they did wrong the first time around. So there was an argument back and forth. The Rebbe Shlom didn't agree and they kept on pleading. Finally, after much argument, how did the Chassidus Rebbe know this? Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know. So after much debate, the Rebbe Shlom finally gave in to them and he said, okay, I'll allow you to come back as a Gilgal on one condition, that you only do one mitzvah, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You don't do any other mitzvahs. So who could have imagined 200 years ago that they're going to be secular Zionists, so all they're going to do the one mitzvah, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the one who has this manuscript is afraid to print it. He says people will say he made up the whole story. He made a forgery. So someone said, why doesn't he print the Ksav Yad the way it is, the handwritten thing? They'll say, that's also a forgery. Whatever. A concept. It's a question whether the Jewish is Gilgal part of their belief in our religion. The Gemara doesn't talk about Gilgal. It's in Kabbalah sources they talk about Gilgal. So there's a Sefer, Rabbi Chizdoy Kreskis was a big Rishon in the days of the Ran. He's the Shittim Kobetz, he quotes him every so often. He wrote a book on Hashkofa that's called Or Hashem. So he has chapters what we believe in, then he has chapters what we don't believe in, then he has a whole bunch of chapters. It's not part of our religion, maybe yeah, maybe no. So he lists Gilgal as part of that. That's not an Iker in our religion, maybe yes. Maybe there is Gilgal, maybe there's no Gilgal. You can't tell. It's not crucial to our religion, whether there is or not. There's a Rashash in Bava Metzia. When the Gemara has a comment in the Peis in Bava Metzia. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, Shetehei Yitziyoscha Min Olam B'Lochet K'Biyoscha L'Olam B'Lochet. Just like when you were born without any sin. So to when you die, you should die without any sin. That's the meaning of the Pesukim. Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. So the Rashash writes, Mikan K'tzas Stira L'Balei HaGilgal. This Gemara seems to contradict those who believe in Gilgal. So they say that the Hasidim boycott the Rashash, Apikeres, because he wrote Tzas Tira Lebali HaGilgal. No, it's like cutting off your own nose despite someone. You boycott the Rashash, you're missing a lot in this world. Rashash has a lot to say about everything. He's Givaldic. People were punished. They told they're going to be punished. They have to roam around in the Midbar for 40 years. Then you have the story of the Ma'apilim. So Moshe Rabbeinu told them they shouldn't press the issue, they shouldn't go to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem will not be with them, and they didn't listen. So they they said they sinned, and they want to do tshuva, and their tshuva was not accepted. So different Mefarshim discuss why was the tshuva not accepted. We sinned, and they want to do tshuva. So why was the tshuva not accepted? Usually tshuva is accepted. So they quote from some Chassidish Rebbe, one of the old Chassidish Rebbe's from 200 years ago. They never really had Hakoras Achet. They said, Omer Hashem ki chatonu. We don't think we sinned. But if you say we sinned, so we clap al chet, we apologize, and we want to correct it. We want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So they said, we didn't sin. If you say we sinned, okay. So we apologize for hurting your feelings. So that's not called Hakoras Achet. The first step to doing tshuva is you have to have Hakoras Achet. I remember when I was a Talmud in the Yeshiva, the Mashgiach used to give drashas all the time. Mashgiach was from Slobodka, so it was a different kind of Musa. Very different kind of Musa. Old style Musa. So I remember he commented once on the Gemara. The Gemara comes to the Machlekes Satanaim, and we paskin like the opinion of Erish Isvad Aleim Yom Kippurim Zechoizim Isvad Aleim Yom Kippurim Hasheni. Even if a person did tshuva and he didn't repeat that Aver in the course of the year, when it comes next Yom Kippur, he should say Vidui again on the same Aver as that he already said Vidui for last Yom Kippur. So why is that necessary? He already did tshuva. So the Mashgiach said, I think he said maybe it's in the Chovos HaLevavos, I don't remember. I'm not sufficiently familiar with the Chovos HaLevavos. He said, you have to have Hakoras Hachet before you do tshuva. So the person, when a person does tshuva, he realizes that he did an Aver. In the course of the year, he doesn't repeat the Avera, and he improves himself and becomes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he has a deeper HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the tshuva that he did last Yom Kippur wasn't sufficient. He has to do tshuva again, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes even stronger. As you come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you realize how the Averas were more serious than you thought. Everybody does Averas. You think, Ma Bekasa, he said Lashon Hara, he did these things, he did the other thing, what's so bad about it? When you start doing tshuva and you realize how improper it was, so then you have a deeper hakaras hachetz. You have to say vidu again. You have to do tshuva again. We were learning in the Gemara Kiddushin, the first parak, about the nesachim. So that's in this week's sedra. The nesachim, even for korban yochid, even not only for korban tzibur. Korban tzibur, we already had nesachim mentioned earlier in the sedra, in the chumash. But here it tells about Korban Yochid. even on a Bamas Yachid. So that's a whole discussion in the Gemara. When did this din begin? Because it says, Kisavoyu al Eretz Moshe Vesechem. Moshe Vesechem means Eretz Yisrael after Yerusha the Yeshiva. Kisavoyu al Eretz Moshe Vesechem. That's after Eretz Yisrael has the full Kedusha, Yudalat Shana, the Shevish HaKosha, the Shevish HaChilko. Or maybe Moshe Vesech means Kamok Meshatam Yoshvin, all over. Not only Eretz Yisrael after Yerusha Yeshiva. So that was a big machlekes Rabbi Akiva with Rabbi Shmuel, whether Kerben Nesochem Bamidbar, or lo Kerben Nesochem Bamidbar. Was there Yochid Mukhiv to bring the Sochem only after Yerusha Yeshiva, only after Eretz Yisrael, or even earlier? So that was, we learned the Gemara. Then the Chumash has a din, Ovid Avodazor is Dina Ka'akum. If a person violates Rov Dina HaTorah, so then we say he's a mumer. But if he only violates some of my best friends talk Lashon Hara, well, what averes do they do? They cheat on income tax. They cheat a little bit here and there on income tax. What do? They don't do major averes, they do little averes. So he's not Dina Ka'akum. If he violates Rov Dina HaTorah that he's aware of, that's Dina Ka'akum. What if he worships Avodah Zarah? So that the Gemara understands based on Psukim, that's how they interpret the Parsha. If you violate all the mitzvah, what do you mean? He violated every single mitzvah, all the 613 mitzvahs? No. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, he violates Avodah Zarah, which is Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs. The Eved Avodah Zarah is Dina Kenochri. Dina Kenochri Benegir to what? Dina Kenochri Benegir to what? That's Shchitosa Nevelo. Shchitosa Nevelo. What is Mekadosh Anisha? You say that the Kiddushin are not Tofsin. The Gemara says not so. The Gemara says even if a non-Jew converted to become a Jew, then he converts back to his original religion. He gives up the Jewish religion. He converts back to become an Eved Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says if he's Mekadosh and Isha, Kiddushin, Kiddushin, the Kiddushin Achal. You don't say one is Machal. The Gemara has a din Machal Shabbos Bifrahesi Dina Kakum. Ovid Avodah Zarah doesn't have to be Bifrahesi. Machal Shabbos on Machal Shabbos Bifrahesi is Dina Kakum.
Why can we say that Shechas Nevela, I know he's explaining in the past, that Shechiti, you don't need Kavara Lehetter, you just need Kavara that should be Shechiti. So why should we say that?
Yeah, we passing, you don't even need, nobody holds you need Kavana Lehetter. It's only machlekes tatana whether you need kavanas chaticha siman. We paskin you don't even need that. Guy just throws a knife to hit a target. He's not even interested in chaticha simanim. So we paskin it's also good if it accomplishes a good shchita. It's also good. But nonetheless, if he's an ovid avodah zarah, he's considered like a nachri. A nachri shushachat the shchitas and the veil. So that's a question. These dinim taka deraisa, the rabbanon. Let's say a man is mechal Shabbos b'fehesi dina kachma. So he's mekadosh and isha. You're going to say the kedushin are not tofsin. That's a joke. But the international bezin pasuk like that. They have this international bezin for agunas. They have it online. I'm not making it up. You can read it yourself. That a woman who needed a get and her husband didn't want to give her a get, so they got witnesses who testified. They know for a fact that he was in the practice of being Mechal Shabbos very often before he married her. There are many Jews in America Mechal Shabbos. So since Mechal Shabbos first, he's Dina Kachman, said the Kiddush and Anatovs. It's the Mamash a joke. A Jew who converted to Christianity is Mekadosh Adisha. The Gemara says the Kiddush and Anatovs. The Goyim are of the opinion that the Jew who converted to another religion is Mekadosh Adisha, Kiddush and Anatovs, and that's only a Chumer min the Rabbanan, not min HaTorah. But if a Jew is Machal Shabbos, Dina Ka'akum, you're going to say the Kedushan HaTosan on the Rabbanan. Nobody says like that. But for sure the Kedushan HaTosan. So that's the question, to what extent do you say Dina Ka'akum? You say, Ovid Avodah Zarah Dina Ka'akum, with respect to what? Shchitas and Nevela, is that the Reis of the Rabbanan? That's a big machloikas. Whether Ovid Avodah Zarah, a Jew who's in Ovid Avodah Zarah, and Shochat Shchitos and Nevela, is that their Reisa, the Rabban? Nachri Shochat, that's a din der Reisa. That's a Mishnah, that's a din der Reisa, that's Shchitos and Nevela. But that a Jew is Dina Kakam, that's a Machlokes. The Chido has a commentary on the Ein Yankiv. He has two Svarim on the Ein Yankiv. So on the first Perek in Chulan, on Daf Hei, on that Daf, where the Gemara says that Ovid Avodah Zarah Dina Ka'akum Shchitas HaNevela, and a Jew who is Mechal Shabbos Befehesye is Shchitas HaNevela. So there he quotes a machlokes among the Bali HaTosfos, whether that's a Din D'Oraisa or a Din D'Rabbanan. So with respect to what do you say, Dina Kakam? It's not so clear. You say Dina Kakam, he has kinyonim like a goy. He does not kinyonim like a Jew. Sometimes we learned in Kiddushin, Tesus, sometimes if La Misecha Bechoda, La Akam Bechoda, if you're selling metaltalim to a Jew, one kinyon works, sell metaltalim to a Nachri, a different kinyon works. You're going to say that the Jew who's Ovid Abedazar, Dina Kakam, is back to the kinyonim? Yeah. That's very difficult. It's a machlokes in the Rishonim. Pashta says that it's not so. It's not Dina Kakam, so it's a question. With respect to what do you say that? Anyway, but in the Parsha it says, V'chisishka v'leisasas kol ha-mitzvahs. Someone did an aveira that violates kol ha-Torah kula. That's referring to Abed Azar. So the din is in Parshas Vayikra and Tzav. If an individual person violated an Issa Sheyesh Bo Kares, B'shogig, Dabashah has done a Kares, and she gigos a chatos, so he has to bring a korban chatos. And if the Bez Nagodol, by mistake, paskin lohokel, in error, they paskin lohokel out of Issa Kares, and the Rav HaTzibur who live in Eretz Yisrael violated the Issa based on the mistaken psak of the Bez Nagodol, then the Bez Nagodol has to bring a parhalam Dabashah Tzibur. So here the Torah tells us, that by, if it's Avodah Zarah, the Korban HaYochid is different and the Korban HaTzibur is different. Usually the Korban HaYochid is Kizba O Seira. And in today's Sedra it says, if it's Avodah Zarah, then he brings Nefesh Achas Sechta Bishkogel V'Kriva Eiz Bashnose, also on the Keva, but he brings only an Eiz. He can't bring Kizba O Seira. He can't bring a Kizba. It has to be Dafka, an Eiz in the Keva. And then normally you bring parhal of Dabash al Tzibur, here you bring parhal of Oilov, Isori Lachatos. Here you bring it's different. If the Bez Nagodol Paskin, that a certain aspect of Avodah Zarah is mutter, so they bring a different kind of a korban. Avodah Zarah is different, everything is different. The Torah has the din of Hafrashas Chala here, right before this din of Karbonis for Avodah Zarah. B'vayachem el ha'oretz. The Gemara says, Mishuna b'yazu. We just had it yesterday on Omid Beis, on Lamed Zayin Omid Beis. The Chi of Trumas and Maisen, Shpita B'yovel, only began after the 14 years. The first year that there were Mafis, Trumas and Maisen, was the 15th year. The first Shmita was the 21st year, because the first 14 years, it didn't have the full Kedushas ha'oretz yet. And the first Yovel was year number 64, because the first 14 years didn't count. And the year number 15 is counted as year number 1. So nonetheless, Hafrashas Chala began right away. B'vayachem el ha'oretz. Chala is only knowing in Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas ha'oretz. That means the beginning of the Kedusha, the Mikzas Kedusha set in when they crossed over the Yarden. B'vayachem el ha'oretz. And the Gemara of the Kedusha was after the 14 years, the Shevesh HaKavshu and the Shevesh HaChilka. So that's the Gemara, that in the Schaiva B'chala right away. The Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Chofei has two Lashonis. What's the din bizman bayisheni? What's the din bizman bayisheni regarding Chala? So one opinion in the Gemara is that even if you hold that Trumas and Maisis bizman azeh is the Rabbanon, why is it the Rabbanon? Because Batla Kedusha Sa'aretz, but Chala will be the Raisa, because Nischaiva B'Chala in the first 14 years, before there was a full Kedusha Sa'aretz. So Chiyav Chala is enough Shem Eretz Yisrael. You don't even need Kedusha Sa'aretz. Shem Eretz Yisrael is enough, so even if you're Kedusha Shniya, Batla, but the Chiyav Chala B'Zman Hazeh will be the Raisa. Then Gemara has another Lashon, the Boisema, another Lashon, that's what we assume, that's just the reverse. Even if one should assume that Trumas and Maisus Bizman Hazeh is their Isa, that Lod Batla Kedusha Sa'aretz, but the Chiyav Chala, the whole time by Sheni was only the Rabbanon, because there never was a Bias Kulchem. The Vayachem has the connotation of Bias Kulchem. So Ruba, the Ruba of the Jews, did not return from Golda's bubble. They stayed behind. Those who came to Eretz Yisrael were the Mamzerim, and the Halolim, and the Nisidim, and the Gerim. All the Psule Kohol came, and the real religious Jews remained behind in Bovel, and they wouldn't intermarry. Rav Chiya came from Bovel to learn by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. That was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's star student, that he wanted him to meet his daughter. So Rav Chiya didn't want. He didn't say why he didn't want. So why didn't he want? Because Rabbi Yehuda Nasi lived in Eretz Yisrael, and all the Psulim came to Eretz Yisrael. In the days of Ezra, Asar Yuchsan Olami Bavel, all the Psulei Kol came. And they cleaned out Bavel. Bavel was all Ksherim. That's the Gemara, the last parak in Kedushin. Bavel, they all the Miuchasim lived in Bavel. And the people in Eitzov, all the Psulei Kol mixed in. So they were not intermarried. The Jews in Bavel were not intermarried with the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Nasi said, my Torah is kosher, my daughter is not kosher. So he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. He didn't want to marry his daughter. Not because she wasn't pretty. He didn't, because the Jews in Bavel held they had a better yichus than the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so the Gemara says, in the beginning of the Baisheni period, there was not a Bias Kulchem. Hardly anybody came back. Much less than 50% of the Jews came back in the days of Shiva Sien and Baisheni. So there was not Bias Kulchem. So the Gemara says, even if you hold that Trumas and Isis, Deraisa, but Chalas for sure is only the Rabban. And then the Chachamim introduced Chalas Chutzlar. It's the big Tosus on the Mishnah at the end of the first Perek in Kedushin explains why they introduced Chalas all over the world, not like Trumas and Isis, only by Ratzis HaSmuchas L'Eretz Yisrael. By Ratzis HaSmuchas is because we're afraid that somebody may bring some Peres from Eretz Yisrael across the border, and you'll buy it and you'll think that it grew in Chutzlaretz. And it's not true. It was exported. It came from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlaretz. So that only applies by Ratzis HaSmuchas L'Eretz Yisrael. In the days of the Tanoim, they didn't imagine that they're going to fly, they're going to cut off the Peres and Eretz on and deliver it in America the next day. And we're going to be eating Jaffa oranges in America. That's the whole world is Aratzis HaSmuchas. You can bring anything to America in less than a day. So in the days of the Tanoim, they only made the Gzeira and Aratzis HaSmuchas. Yeah, so that's what they say. So how come Trumas and Maisa, they only introduced by Aratzis HaSmuchas? Because it may be that it really grew in Eretz. It's only to go over the border. And why is it that Chala they introduce all over the world? So they say it's because Chala looks like a Sochay V'Sagluf. It doesn't really look like a Mitzvah Tleibart. It doesn't really depend, Allah says, it doesn't matter where the flour grew, whether the flour grew in Eretz, the grain grew in Eretz, or the grain grew in Chutzlaretz. It depends where you did the Lisha, where did you do the Gilgal. Did you need the dough in Eretz Yisrael? Then it's Chayim and Challah. And if you needed the dough in Chutzlaretz, it's not Chayim and Challah. So it doesn't look like an agricultural mitzvah. A mitzvah tleibar should really depend where the Peres grew. And the din is that it doesn't depend where, it depends where you do the Gilgal. So it looks like a Chayim V'Saguf. So that's why mid the Rabbanon they introduce challah all over the world. But it's a the Rabbanon on top of the Rabbanon, because we accept the second Lashon in Ksubas Daf Chofei, that the challah bismanaz, even Eretz Yisrael, is only the Rabbanon, because it was a lack of Bias Kulchem. So challah and chutzlor, it's all over the world, there's a the Rabbanon on top of the Rabbanon. And that's why the Gemara in Bechoris Daf Chav Zayin has a whole list of kulis. One of the many kulis is Zech Becholech V'Achakach Mafrish. There are a lot of bakeries in New York where they wouldn't put in non-kosher ingredients. Chassidish bakeries, religious people at bakeries, wouldn't put in any non-kosher ingredients, but they're not mafresh challah. I'm going to think that challah is only on bread. Challah doesn't apply to cake or cookies. I'm going to think challah is only on challah. They don't realize that it applies even to bread. Challah is only a challah. What does it have to do with bread? This is incorrect. The word challah in Biblical Hebrew means dough, isa. It has nothing to do with challahs. Yeah, as a Yiddishism, we call the thing that you take out in Chumash, it's called truma. So the correct nusach habracha should really be al hafrashas truma. Al hafrashas truma. The Mishnah, there's a machlekes hatanoim, and the Mishnah makas, how much non-kosher food does one have to eat in order to get malchus? So one tana is of the opinion, kosher hula malchus. The omaka zayse el linya chatas bilvad. If you ate chelev v'dam v'shoigeg, if you ate a kazayis, then you chayv chatas. If you ate less than a kazayis, you're not chayv chatas. But if you eat a bemezid, you get malchus, even if you ate kol shu. We don't paskin like that. We paskin have to eat a kazayis. So there's one opinion that hetem mitzdarf liyisr. Let's say you have a ham sandwich. So you have a lot of bread. You have two slices of bread. And the ham in between the two pieces of bread is less than a kazayis. But together, ein achila p'chusim b'kazayis, you're eating a kazayis of food. So the ham is part of the achila. So hetem it's tarfli, so it's called achilas behemot meir. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin ain hetem it's tarfli. Then there's a further machlokes. What if you have a half a kazayis of basa b'cholov and a half a kazayis of nevela? Is that mitzarfim? So the one opinion is isurim mitzarfim zeim zeh. Because bottom line it says l'sechu kol teyev kol shetiavta l'cha harei bebal teichol. or non-kosher food is all in the same boat. So we don't paskin like that either. We paskin any iser and mitzvah from zemza. You only get malchus if you eat a kazayis of one iser. So what's called one iser? So let's say you have nivlas behema, nivlas chaya, nivlas ha'of. I buy chicken from the A&P, then I buy goose from the A&P, then I buy meat from a cow from the A&P, nothing hachchit, and then I buy venison, then I buy deer's meat. And I eat a quarter of a kazayis from the goose and a quarter of a kazayis from the chicken. All together I eat a kazayis, but each one has a different flavor. So that's all shem echad. Nevela is nevela. It's all shem echad. That's a mishnah me'ilo. It says kosher sherem shavim, shmasem shavim, mitztar from ze im ze. So then the mishnah has a chiddush. What if a person is not a kohen, he's a zar, and he eats a quarter of a kazayis of truma, a quarter of a kazayis of bikurim, a quarter of a kazayis of challah, quarter kazayis of ma'isam and amaisam. So the mishnah says it's all shem echad. It's all truma. Everything is truma. So it's mitztar from miyachad to get malchus. That's shem echad. So really, according to the klal of the Abu Dram, the whole Sefer Abu Dram, there are several svarim from the Rishonim and the Siddur, so they all work on the premise that every brocha and every tefillah has to be in biblical Hebrew. So that's the whole theme of the Abu Dram. He fishes around through Tanakh to show where every phrase in the Siddur comes from. So brochas have to be in biblical Hebrew, so it doesn't make sense that L'hafrish chala, al-hafrosh ha-schala. In biblical Hebrew, the word chala means the raw dough. In Mishnayis, the Mishnah uses as a Yiddish name, the Mishnah talks about chala, hafrosh ha-schala. But that's a colloquial expression. That's not in biblical Hebrew. Biblical Hebrew, the chala is called tarimu, truma. Truma l'Hashem, tarimu, truma l'Hashem. You should really say the baruch al-hafrosh ha-truma. So that's what the Bi'ur HaGros says. More correct is like the Mechaba says in Yerideya, that the baruch should be Allah Rosh's Truman. How does the Vilna Gaon know that the Abu Dram's premise is correct? And Tziv thinks the whole premise is wrong. Tziv throws out the whole Abu Dram in the garbage. He thinks that the whole thing is wrong. Because there's a Gemara in Brochus and a Gemara in the Dorim. The Gemara talks about Berim Minim Zainus is only recited if you eat Chameshus Min Edoga. Nonetheless, there's a Mishnah in the Dorim that says, Hanodim and Amazon. Person takes the neder, he's not going to eat any mezainas. So one might have thought he's not allowed to eat chameshes min edogan. So he said, not allowed to eat any food except for mayim melech. Because mayim melech don't give any nourishment. And the word mazon means something that gives nourishment. So the Gemara said, it's a contradiction. How come you only say mezainas and chameshes min edogan? So the Gemara should have given a simple answer. Ben dorm haloch hachalosh min edogan. In a Losha Miniyada, Mizainus goes on anything that gives nourishment to the exclusion of Mayim and Melech. But as far as Bar Min Mizainus, brochas have to be in biblical Hebrew. And in biblical Hebrew, the word Mizainus refers to Dogon, so the Gemara doesn't give that answer. So then it says, you see that the whole premise of the Abu Dram is wrong. There is no such rule that brochas have to be recited in the biblical Hebrew. So the Vilna Gaon is very traditional. The Vilna Gaon proves from a Mishnah and Brochas that the Abu Dram's premise is correct. Mishnah and Brochas has a machlokes hatanoim. We recite Bar Pi Hadoma on all vegetables. Bar Pi eats on all the fruits. So the Mishnah quotes, Rabbi Yudah is of the opinion that you need pirut. We also agree. It says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. V'chid b'yom v'vorach ha'mosa b'alayla. Eim v'vorach ha'mosa ella. If there's something special about today, something unique, today is Rosh Chodesh, today is Chol Hamoed, today is Shabbos, today is Yom Tov, you should mention in the davening. So you need pirut. So the Gemara says, based on that, you need pirut. So the Rabbanim, the Chachamim also agree you need pirut. B'di'evet if you say shakal on anything, yotza, the Mishnah says. B'di'evet if birch shakal kulam yotza, even on pas v'yayim. Machlekes in the Gemara, we pass it even pas v'yayim also, b'di'evet shakal would be good. But chatchili, you're not supposed to say shahakla on anything. Each one should have pirut. Rabbi Yudah holds when the pirut even more than the chachamim do. So Rabbi Yudah holds not all vegetables are in the same boat. Some of the vegetables, it says, al hayirokas oim a bari mini dushoim. I mean, you divide the vegetables into two groups. So some of them say Adama, some of them say Bird Minya Dushoim. So the Vilna Goyen asks a question on the Mishnah in the Bir Agro. He says, why does it say Al Hiraka Samar Bird Minya Dushoim? Should say Al Hiraka Samar Bird Minya Hirakas? Or should say Allah Dushoim, I'm a Bird Minya Dushoim? Why does it switch? If you're eating Hirakas, say Bird Minya Dushoim. So he says the Mishnah is written in Mishnaic Hebrew, but the bracha has to be in Biblical Hebrew. So it says Al Hirakas, you're eating green vegetables, then you say in Biblical Hebrew the bracha should be Bari Mina Dushan, because in Bereshis, Parshas Bereshis, where you're saying Bari Mina, Bari Pri Hadama, Bari Peres, you're talking about the Bria Shamayim, where it's the creation of the Peres. There it says, Tacha Heretz Desha, Esa Nazria Zeres. So Rabban Shalom said he wants Desha. So in Mishnei Kibri, you say if you're eating Yerokas, then you say the Nusach HaBracha should be. So the Vilna Gaon does accept that klal from the Yavu drum. Thank you. Chaim, everybody. So the Vilna Gaon thinks he should follow Rabbi Yosef Karo, who says that the bracha on Afrosh Eschala should be Lahafresh Truma, Alafrosh Eschuma, not on Afrosh Eschala. Chala is a Yiddishism. It's a colloquial expression from the days of the Tanaim, but still, Tanaim didn't speak Yiddish, but it's a colloquial expression. The Rama says the meaning is that you say, many of the women have the practice that they recite a brocha, and then they take a little challah, and they don't say anything. They don't say, Hareza challah, Hareza truma, they don't say anything. So Rabbi Akiva Eger, on the bottom of the page in Yeredeya, refers you to a she'iltas. The Shiltas is a Sefer Psak Bizman Hazeh. The Shiltas lived in the days of the Gaonim. He himself was not a Goen. He was a great Talmid Chacham. The name of the yeshiva was Gaon Yaakov. And the president of the yeshiva, the one who had to do all the fundraising, he was known as Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yaakov. So the Shiltas was a lucky man. He was a big Talmid Chacham. He was not the president of the yeshiva. He was not from the Gaonim. He had time to sit and learn and write a Sefer. The other poor presidents, Mr. Joel, he didn't have any time to learn. He had to raise money, never. But he was the Goyen. He was the Rosh. If the yeshiva would be called Goyen Yankov, so Mr. Joel would be Rosh Yeshiva. Goyen Yankov, he'd be the Goyen. Not all the Goyen were so learned. Some of them were not so strong in learning. The famous ones, Rabbi Goyen, Rabbi Shreira Goyen, Rabbi Natra Doi Goyen, these were the famous ones. They knew how to learn. There were many others who were not so strong in learning. So Rabbi Kevegi quotes from the Shiltas, which is a Sefer Psak Aloch Al Maisa for the Jews who live in Bavel, that when you mafresh chala, you say a brocha, and then you say hareza truma, hareza chala, you have to say the Kriyat Shem, implying that that's the way you're supposed to do it. And the meaning of many women is that they just say the brocha, and they don't say hareza truma, they don't say the Kriyat Shem. So the Netziv defends this practice in his commentary on the Shiltas. He defends the practice. He says the truth of the matter is that Truma is Nitalas b'machshava. That's a pasuk in the end of next week's end of Korach. Nechsha lachem Trumaskam kadogon b'nagor mechamlea menayekev. Gemara says b'nechsha that Truma Nitalas b'machshava. If you just nosenene b'tzad zeh b'echel b'tzad achev. If I have in mind, I want this to become Truma. I want this to become Chala. So the din is that Truma is Chal b'machshava. It's an exception to the rule. The rule should have required that you need levate bisvasayim, because Afrasha's truma is from the inyone hafloa. Hafloa, the Rambam has yud dalet svarim, as the Yad HaChazok, as the one is sefer hafloa. So hafloa is lefale nedarai nedava, lefale Rashi writes, lefarish bisvasov, parlay balaz, Rashi writes, parlay balaz. I remember when I was in elementary school, the Rebbe pointed out, Rashi says parlay balaz, it means to speak. In French, it means to speak. So that in Yoni Haflo means the Dor Mishwus and the Zirus and Erech and the Hegdeshus and Charamin and Hafrashas Trumas and Maisis. It's Chala Idei Dibur. So really, usually you require Dibur. Goma Beliba, a person made up his mind, he wants to accept the Shvuah. Tzorch Lahoitze Bisvoso, the Gemara says. The Shvuah is not Chal Balev. You need Nefesh Kisishov Levati Bisvosam. So the same should have been true regarding Hafrashas Trumas. So the Gemara says, no, but Trumas is an exception to the rule. Shnek Sibma Boin Kerech. Truma and Korbanos, because the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, Kol Nediv Levoilus Heviu, those who had pledged in their hearts to bring Korbanos, brought the Korbanos to the second Beis HaMikdash, it's talking about them. So the Gemara says to be magdush karbonis is chal b'machshava, and hafrashas trum is chal b'machshava. So if the balabasta says the bracha hafrashas chal, and then she sets it aside, or even if she has a suffix and she doesn't say the bracha. Here in America, the meaning was for many years, Rav Henkin established that if you mix together 3 pounds of flour with water, then you mafrish chala without a bracha. If you mix 5 pounds of flour with water, then you mafrish chala with a bracha. Because it's a suffix, how much is mem gimel beitzim uchamish beitzim? How much is it? So let's say, even if the woman doesn't say the bracha ala frashas chala, but she's mafrish the chala, she has in mind that she wants this to become chala. So it's really chala b'machshova. And then the Netziv explains, and it's really preferable. He explains why the meaning on Hashem is more correct. Really preferable not to say Hareza Truma, because everybody's Tommy Tumas Mace. Everybody, at some time or another, went to a funeral, and the Mace is Avi Avos HaTumah. We are Mekabel Tumah, we are an Av HaTumah. So we're going to touch the Chala, we're going to make a Chala Tmeya. So there's an Issa, you're not supposed to be Metame Truma, and just like you're not supposed to be Metame Truma, you're not supposed to cause Dover Tummy to become Truma. Like a nazir is tahar, he goes to the cemetery, he gets malchus. The Gemara said the same if an adam tameh is mekabel naziris. He's bringing into existence a nazir tameh. So the Gemara says the same avera, just like a nazir tahar goes to a funeral, he's metamel meis, so to if an adam tameh meis is mekabel naziris, he's creating a nazir tameh. So he's also loike, the Gemara says. So the same over here, the Netziv thinks that it should be the same iser. If you have Truma Torah, you cause it to become Tame, that's an Iser. Mishmer is Truma Isai. You weren't careful. It's supposed to be Mishmer Smasi. Take care not to cause the Truma to become Tame. So here you have Iser Tmei on your Mafis Truma from it. It's not really right. But you have no choice. You're not going to be Mafis Truma. It's going to be also, it's going to have an Iser Tevel. So you have no choice. So he says, but if you Mefarish B'Peh, Harez L'Chala, Harez Truma, then it becomes a deeper degree of Kedusha. How does he know that that's true? I don't know. If you mafrish machshava, it's a lower level of Kedusha's Truma. Kedusha's Chala. If you mafrish bedibur, then it's a stronger level. So why should you cause it to become the stronger level of Chala? If it's enough that the Chala is Chalma machshava to take off the Issa Tevel, so why should they cause it to become the deeper level of Chala to violate the Issa? Of causing Eichel Tomei to become a Truma. So he defends the meaning on Hashem that they don't say a bracha. It's interesting, the Yerushalmi in Maseches Chala quotes Tosefta's that the practice always used to be in the days of the Yerushalmi when there would be Mafish Truma or Chala, they would say, Harez Truma Lashem Alakol. This should become Truma Lashem. Apparently it's learned that from Psukim. The Pasuk calls it like that. So how come today we don't do that? Whenever the mafrish chal, the women don't say this should be truma l'Hashem. Alakol means in case I have some dough in nooks and crannies somewhere else, I say this should be chal on everything. I raise it truma l'Hashem alakol. Yeah, but what we don't say l'Hashem? How come? So the Malbim has a very fascinating chiddush. I think it's on today's Sedra, on Shlach Lecha. He says that after the Chachamim, after the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah instituted the Bichas HaMitzvah, so we mentioned Shem HaShem and the Bracha, Baruch Atah HaShem HaLekein HaMelech HaOilam. So we mentioned Shem HaShem in connection with the Hafrash HaShchala, so there's no need today to say HaRezit Truma LaShem. We already said it. We already mentioned Shem HaShem in connection with the Truma. But before they instituted the Bichas HaMitzvah, and Hafrash HaShchala, so the practice always was that they would say, Harez Truma LaShem, Alakol. They would mention Shem HaShem in the Kriya HaShem. Yeah, we said before that a lot of the bakeries in New York make a mistake. They're only Mafrish HaShchala on the bread. Some are only Mafrish HaShchala on challahs, not even on bread. They're not Mafrish HaShchala on the cookies. So that's not right. But the din is, let's say you bought a box of cookies from the, or a lot of bakeries will only be mafrish chala from blila ova, from blila raka. They won't be mafrish chala. If it's a batter that pours, they won't be mafrish chala. So some defend the practice. Davnei Nezah has surely defended the practice. Rav Soloveitchik said that his mother told him, that when she first got married, her father-in-law, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, told her that when she makes sponge cake, she doesn't have to be mafrish challah, because it pours. It's a batter and it pours. If you make a cake that you need, a blila ova, that you do actually alisha for, then you have to be mafrish challah. He said, Nachalos chutz laretz, whenever there's any suffix, so a mekel. So they lived in chutz laretz. Reb Soloveitchik's parents lived in chutz laretz. Chalas chutz laretz of a mekel. Here in Broyers also, Rabbi Schwab told Grunenbaum Bakery that when they do a blila raka, they don't have to be mafresh chal. That's not what it says. Rabbi Chaim said like that, but that's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says even if you have a blila raka, if you plan to bake it, it is chayv and chal. So we don't really follow that. That opinion. So the question is, what do you mean? You mafresh challah and cake and cookies, but it says nuchumish by bachochem elechem haaretz. That's not lechem. Lechem is only hamoitzi lechem and haaretz. So the answer is, if you eat enough cake and cookies, you also say hamoitzi lechem and haaretz. If you kaveh suda, you say hamoitzi, and you have to wash until the yadayim. You have to recite birchas hamazon at the end. Cake and cookies is a subcategory of lechem. It's what Halacha calls pas habo bikisn. So this pas. Regular bread is pas. Even if you just have a nibble, you have to say hamoitzi. Even if you have bread crumbs, you have to say hamoitzi. Matzah mel is hamoitzi. Ashkenazim would say hamoitzi hamatzah, would say hamoitzi hamatzah mel. Once you bake the matzah mel, you made something else out of it, then it becomes mezainis. But just when it's in a state of matzah mel, the din is that you say hamoitzi. So the chumash requires hafroshas challah. From lechem haaretz, it is lechem. This is a subcategory of lechem. But we mentioned before, the Gemara has quite a few kulas on chalas chutz laretz. It's got the rabbanon on top of the rabbanon. So one of the kulas is ech v'holech v'achar kach mafrish. If let's say you bought a box of cookies from a bakery, and you know the bakeries, everything is kosher, but they're just not mafrish challah. Some of the bakeries, they never mafrish challah and cake and cookies. They have an Aruch HaShulchan like that. Some of them know the Aruch HaShulchan. It's a difficult Aruch HaShulchan. It's against the Mishnah. Yeah.
So, aren't things that are blue laraka not part of the subcategory of pas, like pancakes? What is this?
That's not because it's a blue laraka. Blue laraka, sponge cake, alpi pashtus. If you eat enough sponge cake, you have to say hamaitzi, and you wash, and you say birchas hamazon. Pancakes is a different thing. The Gemara says, because you pour it on the frying pan, and it, because the heat is on, and it gets already baked, partially baked, so it doesn't keep on spreading. But if you didn't put it in a mold, and if not for the fact that a fire is on high, it would have spread further, would it become even looser. So that's, the Gemara said, that's not called the Tzuras HaPas. But if you pour batter, you don't knead it with your fingers, you pour it, and you pour it into a mold, you want to have a cupcake with a certain shape, so that that is pas habavikisn. That is a subcategory of pas.
So if I pour pancake batter into a mold, that'll be pas habavikisn.
Yeah, that'll be pas habavikisn. But pancakes, the Gemara says, because you don't put it in a mold, and it would have spread further if not for the fact that it already started to bake. So it became hardened. So that's not called the Tzuras HaPas. So that even if you eat a ton of it, the bracha will remain mezainis. Yeah, the Mishnah says, what if a person wants to be very generous? He wants to donate all of the dough to the kohen. It's for the Chof Dalet Matnas Kehuna. So the Mishnah says, you can't do that. The same thing if you mafresh truma. Instead of just giving 2%, I want to give 100% to the kohen. I declare everything is truma gedolah. So you can't do that, because the pasuk says, Mei reishis harishis seichem, Mei reishis velo kol reishis. You have to reishis shesharei nikorin. You have to leave something over. You can't declare everything as kodesh. In reishis hagez, even though the pasuk says, reishis geisam from titan lakoyin, the other din is, the Mishnah says, you can give away the whole reishis hagez. Why is there a difference? So the Mefarshim and the Mishnais discuss it. So the Pashtus perhaps is, they suggest it. Pashtus is because Truma and Chala have Kedusha. So you want the Kedusha is only appreciated in contrast to Chol. So you have to have Reishis Shesharei Nikar. This is Kodesh and this is Chol. This is Chulam Misukana. So that we understand, Reishis HaGez, there's no Kedusha. So you don't need an Imus, you don't need a contrast between the Kodesh and the Chol. But by Truma and Chala, you want to have a contrast. Yeah, but if you say like that, then the question is, what about Bikurim? What if instead of separate, Bikurim has Truma, Kedusha has Truma. The Mishnah says in Me'ilah, we mentioned the Mishnah says in Me'ilah, that there are four things that have the same Shem Echod, Bikurim, and Chala, and Truma, and Maisa, and Amaisa, all have Shem Echod of Truma. So Bikurim also has Kedusha as Truma. So what if you mafrish, you Kodesh and Bikurim on everything? I think the Mishnah says that it is good. I don't remember. I think the Mishnah says that it is good. So that's the question. If the whole idea behind this din, a Reisha Shishere and Yikorim, you want to have the Kedusha should be in contrast to the Chulin, so then it should apply to Bikurim as well. And I think it doesn't. You got to look in the Mishnahs. Anyway, the Noisei Kelim on the Mishnahs talk about that. How come the din of Shere and Nikorim applies to some of the Hafrashas Areishas and not to all of them?
As I was saying before about taking the mold as part of a weakest, if like a circular pan, like a frying pan, is that considered a mold? If a person makes pancakes over a stove in a frying pan and he pours in the batter might have gone further if there weren't, but the pot is only so big.
Is that what he wants? Does he want it to go and
tell? No, he doesn't care. It's just that that's just the size of the pan.
No, so then it's not called a mold. That's not called. If he wants it, that the shape, then it's called the tzuras hapas. The Gemara says if you don't have a tzuras hapas, you're not even chayv and chalom. And even if you eat a ton of it, it's not going to become a mamoitzi. And then there's another Gemara that says if you don't have tzuras hapas, it's mezainas, but it's still chayv and chalom. So it's a stira. So the answer is no stira. The two dinim and tzuras hapas. One then tzuras hapas, does it look like bread? Or does it look like cake and cookies? But the cake is also a loaf, a big shape of a loaf of a cake. So that's a tzuras hapas. Then you get to that you chayv and chalom. It's called the subcategory of lechem. It is a subcategory of lechem, but it doesn't have a tzuras hapas. It's eaten as a snack. You don't make a sandwich. You don't take two slices of cake and put the salami in between. You don't take two slices of cake and put cheese in between. You don't eat it like bread. So there, the din of tzuras hapas is that it's mezainus as a person, unless you kaveh sud on it, that makes it a mezainus. Then there's another din of tzuras hapas. If you have oatmeal cereal, the whole thing is a liquidy. So you can eat as much as you want. You never say hamaitzi lechem and hors. It doesn't have a loaf shape at all. Or if you have Wheaties, or you have Cheerios. The passion of Wheaties and Cheerios also, you can eat 10 boxes of it, you can eat 10 boxes. It's not called Kriya. The Kriya Suda doesn't help, just like Kriya Suda doesn't help to become Hamaitzi on oatmeal cereal because it's liquidy, so it doesn't help on Cheerios and Wheaties either. It doesn't have a Tzuras HaPas, it's not a loaf shape. That's a shala. How big does the piece of cookie have to be that it should have a loaf shape? So I remember years ago, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik used to give the Hashgachans dried matzahs. So they asked them about tam-tams. Manashevitz made tam-tams. At that time, Strites didn't make tam-tams. So they asked them, but the tam-tams has the Tzuras HaPas that you have to say Hamoitzi if you eat a lot of them or not. So he says he doesn't know. Strites doesn't make tam-tams, and he didn't think about it. When Strites will start to make tam-tams, I'll have to think about it. Okay, so they're really two different dinim in Tzuras HaPas. One is, does it look like cake or does it look like bread? Whether the bracha is mezainis, but even if it looks like cake, it's still in a loaf shape. So yichayv and chala, you can use it for eruv v'chatzeres. Then is eruv v'chatzeres has to be lechem shemavrochem olav hamoitzi. So the question is, we always, when you make it eruv v'chatzeres, you always use a box of matzahs. But there are a lot of svardim included in the eruv. So by svardim they say mezainis. So how is the matzahs good? The gemara says it has to be lechem shemavrochem olav hamoitzi. So the Gemara explains, if it's cake or cookies, that if you would have been kaveh suda, you would have said amaitzi, but that's also good for eruv v'chatzeres. That is considered lechem shemavrochem olav amaitzi. So cake and cookies are also lechem shemavrochem olav amaitzi. It's a subcategory of pas. Hay bachochem lechem oretz, that's also called lechem. Pas of abakistam is also called lechem. Yeah, at the end of the Sedri, we have the story about the Mekoshesh. He did some kind of a malacha or another. The Tanaim have a whole discussion exactly which malacha did he do. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, Yedei Hoye Moshe, he knew Mechaleh Mos Yumas, but he didn't know which Misa. So they put him in prison. Vayanecho Osa Ba Mishmar, Kilo Porosh Ma'i Osalo, they knew that he's Chayim Misa, Mechaleh Mos Yumas, but they didn't know the Eza Misa who Nera. The Gemara says, the Megadev, they didn't know Bechalal of his Chayim Misa. They were never told the din that the one is Megadev or Sashem is Chayim Misa. So they locked him up, they didn't know what his Chayim Misa. So Rabban Shalom said, yeah, you give him Skila. But over here, they knew that he's Chayim Misa, Mechaleh Mos Yumas, they didn't know what Misa. So Tosfos in Chulin asked Akasha, what do you mean? If you don't know what Misa, the Gemara says, Tam Misa, Amur, Bator, Eina, El, Chenek. Because there are four levels, Skila, Sreifa, Herik, Chenek. So the lowest level is Chenek. So like Hamad, Zmachav, Eol, Varaya. If you don't know what form of Misa, so you give him the least Chomer. So the least Chomer is Chenek. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu have a Sofik and they put him in jail? They're going to ask the Rabbanu Shel Olam, why is there room to ask? They should have known. So Tosfos says no, but we know that in Machal Shabbos Pefes Dinika Ovid Avod Zor and Ovid Avod Zor is Chayv Skila. So that's why they were wondering maybe it's Chayv Skila. That's what Tosfos answers. So Rabbi Kiveger asks in the Gilyan Hashas, so how do we know Halacha L'Maisa today that in Machal Shabbos is Beskila? Maybe it's only the Megadef was Chayv Skila because he was Machal Shabbos Pefes Dinika Ovid Avod Zor. Ovid Avod Zor is Beskila. But if a guy's Machal Shabbos Shalom Befer Hesya, maybe it should be Takeh Chenek. That's Rabbi Kivega's Kasha. In Gilyan Hashas, Rabbi Kivega asked that Kasha. Then the Sedra ends with the Din of Tzitzis. Din of Tzitzis says, L'doi Roysom. And also, Matzitzah Kana Psil Tcheilas. It says Lidorosam. What's the significance of Lidorosam? All the mitzvahs are Lidoros. They're not a Hayroshah. Hayroshah is a nevuah. Whatever Moshe, most of what Moshe Rabbeinu said was a din Lidoros. Why was it necessary to say Lidorosam? So there's a sefer that the Torah Tmima relies on heavily. The Ravid Hazahov. Ravid Hazahov is written in the days of the Vilna Gaon by one of the Dayanim in Vilna, Rabbi Socha Ber. I think his name was. So he combines all of Torah Shebaal Peh with Torah Shebechzav. He quotes every drasha that the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, the Marik, or the Maharil, when the Rishayim, Achrayim, when someone has a drasha, on a pasuk, he quotes it. That's what the Torah Tamima thanks him in his introduction. He relied very heavily on, very, very heavily, the bulk of what it says in Torah Tamima is from the Ravid Azov. There was a girl who got a doctoral dissertation on this. She proved that the Torah Tmima did not lift it from the Riakan Yisrael. He writes in the introduction, he's using the Ravid Azov, and he has the same misprint. If it says in the Ravid Azov, it's Simakuf Yudim, it's really Simakuf Vav, so the same mistake will appear in the Torah Tmima. He didn't even look it up to check to see. He's even the mistakes in the Marmakot, it's the same. Anyway, so the Ravid Azov has on this possibly the Dora Azov. He has a famous comment that in the days of the Tanoim there was a machlokes Rebbe and a Chacham whether Tchevus Ma'akevus HaSalovan and Lova Ma'akevus HaTchevus. There are two parts to the mitzvah of Tzitzis. So Rebbe Yudah Anasi, Rebbe's opinion is that Tchevus Ma'akevus HaSalovan and Lova Ma'akevus HaTchevus. You have to have the both parts, like Dalad Minim Shebelulov Ma'akvim Zeh Zeh. So Tchevus and Lovan is the same. And the Chachamim disagree, and they say Tchelis is not Ma'akevus HaSalovan, and Lovan is not Ma'akevus HaTchelis. Let's say you have all the strings at Tchelis, you have no Lovan. So you yotze the mitzvah in an incomplete form. All the strings are Lovan, you have no Tchelis. So you yotze the mitzvah in an incomplete form. Yeah. So the Rishonim had a machlok inside the Paskin. So the Balamor, and Perek Lama Madlikan, the bottom of the read, Balamor thinks that we should Paskin like Rebbe. Tchelis Ma'akevus HaSalovan. The Ramban writes there on that Balamor that Kibalnu Edusa, we heard from people who knew the Balamor, Ben Ezrach Elevi, was before the Ramban, that he never wore tzitzis. The Balamor never wore tzitzis because those Tchelis Ma'akevus HaSalovan, they didn't have any tchelis. So why should he wear tzitzis? It's an act of futility. You gain nothing if you're going to wear tzitzis without tchelis. If your tchelis is ma'akevus. And most of the Rishonim disagree with the Balamor. Most of the Rishonim say, why should we pass like Rebbe? We pass on like the Chachamim. The Tchelus ain't a Makevis as a Lovan, and the Lovan is not Makevis at Tchelus. That's how the Rambam passes. It's not Makevis as a. The mitzvah Bishlei Musa is he had both Tchelus and Lovan, but Shalom Bishlei Musa, the Yotze, the mitzvah partially. The Rambam counts Tzitzis as one mitzvah. He doesn't count it as two distinct mitzvahs. One to have Tchelus, one to have Lovan. One mitzvah, so the Rabbi Daniel HaBavli had carried out a whole correspondence with the Rambam's son. They lived in two different countries. Rabbi Daniel HaBavli lived in Baghdad, and the Rambam's son lived in Egypt. But they corresponded, and they printed the sefer. It's called Maisa Nisan, because there was a wealthy Sephardi, Mr. Nisan, paid for the publication of the book. So that's why it's called the Maisa Nisan. So this is one of the kashas that most of the Maisa Nisan is about Sefer HaMitzvah's issues. So this is one of the issues that he brought up, that the Rambam says that you count Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh as two distinct mitzvahs, because the Mishnah says that they're not makom zeh zeh. If you only have one, you don't have the other, so you do the mitzvah that you have. As opposed to Dal Min Shebelula makom zeh zeh, so that shows that it's one mitzvah. So he's bothered with Akasha, the Rambam paskin, Tchelus eni makeves asalovan, lovan is not makeves atchelus, so it should have been counted as two distinct mitzvahs. And the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. That's his kasha. So Ben Avram Ben Rambam answers, it's not an ironclad rule what his father, what the Rambam wrote, that whenever they're not ma'akim zeh zeh, it's two distinct mitzvahs. By the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, they're two different things. One is a mitzvah over here, one is a mitzvah over here. They're not ma'akim zeh zeh. But over here, you tie it all together, especially according to the Rambam. The Tchelus is a half of one of the long strings. So what are you going to say? They're two different mitzvahs. Seven out of the eight strings are one mitzvah, and one of the eight strings are another mitzvah. It's all part of the same thing. You tie everything all together. I mean, it's a mitzvah b'shalei Musa to have tchelus and lovan. And if you don't have both together, you have only one or the other, then you mekayim a mitzvah shalom b'shalei Musa. Anyway, that's how most paskan that. Tchelus and not like the Balamor. That was Yodua the Maharam Rutenberg wore tzitzis all week long. And on Shabbos, he wouldn't go chutz le'erev wearing the tzitzis. That's a question, why? So the Nitziv has a tshuva about this in the Mesh of Dovar. He quotes that the different Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg said different explanations. So some said he was afraid that maybe one of the strings would rip in such a way that it would become puzzle. And the Gemara says, if you walk around with pasul or tzitzit is usually not called hoitzor, you're not carrying the tzitzis, because it's a tuffel to the beggar. But if the tzitzis is pasul and you have to take it off and replace it, then the tzitzis will be a hoitzor. If you wear pasul or tzitzis, it's a violation of hoitzor. So some of the students of the Maharam Rutenberg said the reason why he didn't want to wear tzitzis chutz le'erev was because he was concerned maybe some of the strings would rip in such a way that it would be pasul, and that will be an Isar Hitzah. And other students of the Maharam Rutenberg said a different reason why he was Machmer. It was Choshish for the Shita's Balamor. That according to the Balamor, you don't have Tchelus Bizmanazes, so you're not Yotze anything. So all the strings on the Beged are a Masu. Everything is a Masu. Because you don't accomplish anything. If you have a woman wears a dress and has strings hanging all over the place, okay? Or a person wears a leather jacket, has strings hanging on. Okay, that's part of the beggar. But here, it's not part of the beggar. The only reason why we tie it on is in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So if you hold really like the Balamor, you accomplish nothing because you don't have tchelus, then it should be an Isser Hoitzor. So it's really two totally different explanations that they gave. So the Nitziv claims that those students who were closer to the Maharam Rutenberg knew that the real reason was because it was choshish for the Balamor. And maybe the din is like Rebbe, that Tchelus ain't ma'akevus as a lovan. Maybe the din is like Rebbe, Tchelus ma'akevus as a lovan. So the whole tzitzis is a masli, because you're not accomplishing anything. It's not that he was concerned, maybe the strings would rip. He claims that the Talmidim who are not so close to the Maharam Rutenberg, they thought that that was the reason why. Those who were close knew that the real reason was because he was really choshish for the Balamar. Maybe Tchelus is not ma'akevus as. Maybe tchelus is ma'akevus as halavon, and you don't have any tchelus, so it'll be a violation of hoitzor. Yeah. This din that you're supposed to have tchelus and lovan, this is not a hidur mitzvah. It's not lamahadrin. That you're to the mitzvah without it, but it's not just lamahadrin. It's if you only have lavan without chelus, you yotze the mitzvah only shalov v'shleimusa. So that's what the Beis Halevi writes. If a person has a korban chatos and he's supposed to do four zrikas on the four corners of the mizbech instead of doing four, he do one, two, or three. So the Mishnah says in Zochem that the kohen is in violation of Bal Tigra, because he has the ability to do all the four zrikas and he didn't bother to do it. And what if he doesn't do any zrikas? So he says, no, that's not Bal Tigra. He has a rajbon, Rosh Hashanah. As he's just mevat lahol mitzvah zrikas adam on the mizbech. You're only in violation of Bal Tigra if you did the mitzvah bigiron, you were yotze the mitzvah b'diavad. So it's very rare. If you have a pair of tefillin, you only have three parshas, you didn't put in the fourth parsha. So that, according to that Rashbo, according to the Beis Halevi, that wouldn't be there would not be a violation of Bal Tigra, just mevatla mitzvah of tefillin. But over here, so just like by a korban chatos that you need four zrikas, if you do anything less than four, it's a violation of Bal Tigra. So too by tzitzis, supposed to have tchelis and lovan. So the person has lovan available and he doesn't bother to buy it. He doesn't bother to put it into the begin. Then he says you're in violation of Bal Tigra. So yes, how do we all wear tzitzis bizman? Is everybody's in violation of Bal Tigra? So he says, we don't have tchelis, we don't know how to identify the tchelis. So we say, Esedechaloises. He says, everybody walking around with tzitzis is relying on the klal of Esedechaloises, because we don't know what the tchelis is. Whenever it's Eefshe Lekayim Shneim, you have to fulfill a mitzvah wearing tzitzis. And he shouldn't violate Bal Tigra, but he doesn't know how to avoid violating Bal Tigra. He doesn't know what's the authentic tchelis. So then he says, you have no choice, so you're in violation of Bal Tigra, but the essay of wearing the lovan chutim is doicha de lo esese Bal Tigra.
So what's Shad Mishnah when it says that the tchelis and lovan are
that b'diavad you yotze the mitzvah shalom b'shleimusa if you have only one without the other. If you have the lovin without the tchelis, or the tchelis without the lovin, so b'diavad you yotze the mitzvah.
The Mishnah's giving a case where you're over on Bal Tigra.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not? Like the Mishnah, that Mishnah Menachos, and the Mishnah in Zvachim has. If a person brings a korban chatos to the Beis HaMikdash, b'diavad, if he does one zrik on one karen, is also good b'diavad. Lachatchil is supposed to do. It's not just lachatchil. It's not a hidim. It's the mitzvah b'shleimusa is to do dalet zrikas. If you do less than dalet, so you did a mitzvah shalom b'shleimusa b'riyevid yoyotze, but then you violated Bal Tigra. The same over here. The mitzvah b'shleimusa is to do tchelus and lovan. And if you have one without the other, then you only become a mitzvah shalom b'shleimusa. That's a violation of Bal Tigra. The Gemara considers something worse than Bal Tigra. You mevatel a mitzvah. It says in the Chumash, you have to put in trelis. So you mevatel a mitzvah of trelis. So he adds on, not only are you mevatel a mitzvah of trelis, we throw on you at Aloises a Bal Tigra as well. So that's only if you had the opportunity. If trelis is available and you don't use it, so then you can't say Esa Dechel Aloises. It says for so many centuries we didn't know how to identify the trelis. So you say, yes, but once you know how to identify the trailers, then you got to use the trailers. If you don't use it, then there will be Bal Tigra.
Do you say, yes, when I don't have to put on tzitzis?
When what?
I don't have to put on
tzitzis. It's better not to put on tzitzis than to put on tzitzis without trailers. If you don't put on a beggar with four corners, you're not mechuyev. But if you put on a beggar of four corners and you have an obligation to put tzitzis and you have available, you have tchelis, and you don't avail yourself of it, then you're mevatel a mitzvah, and then you're avail Bal Tigra. But if you wouldn't have worn the whole beggar in the first place, there wouldn't have been a problem. Why do we have the practice that we go out of our way to wear a four-cornered garment, to wear tzitzis? So the Bali HaTosis have a machloikis about this, in Perek HaTchelis. So some of the Bali HaTosis quote the Gemara at the end of the first Perek in Soito, but they man hasaba Moshe Rabbeinu likonis la'oris. Moshe Rabbeinu offered so many prayers that he wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael. There's all safe in Begala Amukas. Begala Amukas, when the Shach learned in Vilna, he stayed by the Begala Amukas in his home. Begala Amukas is all Kabbalah. So he was the Rav. Galam Lukas was the Rav in Vilna at the time. And he wrote this whole, he has two Svarim in Galam Lukas. One is just on Parshas Vayeshanan. He has up his 300-400 versions of what were the tefillos that Moshe Rabbeinu offered. The Medrash says he offered up his 600 prayers. Vayeshanan Lashem, the gematria of Vayeshanan, however much it is. He offered over 400 prayers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow him to enter Eretz Yisrael. So what did he say in 400 prayers? So he has a whole sefer. What were the 400 prayers of Moshe Rabbeinu? Then he has another Megala Mukas on the whole Chumash, all Kabbalah things. Yeah. So the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Sota wants to know, why was Moshe Rabbeinu so intent on moving to Eretz Yisrael? Well, he wanted to swim in the Kinneret. Lechem Epiria with his Baya Mituva. He wanted to have a good time in Eretz Yisrael. To sit, to walk on the boardwalk and to wash, to bathe in the rivers there. Moshe says, no, he wanted to fulfill the mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael. So even though you're not mechuyev, if you live in Chutz Lotz, you're not mechuyev. He wanted, as a Midas Chassidus, he wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, to obligate himself to fulfill the mitzvah of Klal Yisrael. So that's what Tosfos says. That's our practice. Even though the Gemara says you're not obligated to wear a four-cornered garment, but we go out of our way to wear a four-cornered garment, like the Midas Chassidus of Moshe Rabbeinu, we make ourselves mechuyev to put on tzitzit. So the other Balei HaTosfos say, is mamish yuhara mechzi kiyur, when you'll be on the madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu, and you'll be fulfilling all the other 600 mitzvahs, so you should go out of your way to wear a four-cornered garment also. But you're not holding by the madregas of Moshe Rabbeinu. You talk Lashon Hara, you cheat on income tax, you do a little averus here and there. So what do you mean you want to do on Midas Chassidus? So there were communities in Morocco, maybe other parts of the world also, but in Morocco there were communities where only the Rav wear a talis. The Balabatim didn't wear a talis. The Rav is like Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Balabatim, they shouldn't. It's Mechzi Kiyuharo, that they should wear a four-cornered garment to demonstrate that they want to make themselves Mechuyiv to wear tzitzis. Yeah, that's different traditions. But everybody should wear tzitzis on that. There is a big machlokes, the Rama Metosis, where the tying the chutim and the begin has to be done l'shmo. Taking the wool and converting it into strings, that has to be done l'shmo. That's Beferish and Gemara. So Pasha Pshat is tying the tzitzis on the beged for sure needs lishma. That's what Tosfos learned. All machlekes and the Gemara is, what about converting the wool into strings? That's also called asiyas ad tzitzis. Asiyas ad tzitzis has to be lishma, even that part, even the manufacture of the strings. Or it's enough if you tie the strings onto the beged lishma. So that's the Tosfos opinion. The Rambam holds not so. The Rambam holds the only thing that they need lishma is converting the wool into the strings. Tying the strings on the beged may not be done by a non-Jew, but says Dabel b'nei Yisrael martalem yosalam tzitzit b'nei Yisrael v'yosu v'lo hanochmi v'yosu. If a non-Jew ties tzitzit, it's no good. But as long as the person is Jewish, let's say it's a cotton before bar mitzvah, and the cotton is mufka from doing lishma because he's a la bar das, so he's a la bar chiyuva, he's not mechuyev in a mitzvah, so he can't create lishma. So that's the question. A cotton ties tzitzis, is it good? So there's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. The Machlekes Tosfos in the Rama. When I was a little boy, my grandfather was the Shamus in Rabbi Peretzky's Young Israel in the Bronx. And my grandfather taught me how to tie tzitzis. That's my grandfather's job, to tie tzitzis. I used to tie the tzitzis on the talesim in the shul. My grandfather only knew kids in Shulchan Aruch. He didn't know. And the big Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't let a cotton. And the rabbi wasn't watching. The rabbi knew Shulchan Aruch. The rabbi wasn't watching. He didn't know what was going on. That's a big shaila. Let's say a child before bar mitzvah tied in school. The rabbi teaches them how to tie tzitzis on the beged. So can he continue wearing that beged after his bar mitzvah? He tied on the chutim when he was a cotton. And according to Tosfos, it's possible. So kolzman is a cotton, mitam chinuch, it's good. His chiv is only mitam chinuch. But after he comes bar mitzvah, he's still going to continue to wear the tzitzis that he tied the katnus on. So according to Tosfos, it's a lack of asiyah lishma. So that's a big issue. So the Netziv, we mentioned the Netziv has a tshuva. He says that it's okay. He says it's okay based on the Rambam by Korban Pesach Sheni. That the Rambam paskins, the Gemara seems to paskin. Like Rebbe, Machlekes Rebbe Rav Nosson on Parshas Baal Oischa, where the Pesach Sheni is Tashlum in the Rishon and Pesach Sheni is regal b'fnei atzma. L'may nafkemina, kotten shehigdel ben Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So the Rambam paskins that Pesach Sheni is a regal b'fnei atzma, even if he was a kotten at Pesach Rishon. And you can't say it's Tashlumin, still is Mukhiv to bring Pesach Sheni, unless he ate Pesach Rishon, unless he participated in Pesach Rishon, then he doesn't have to beat Pesach Sheni. So the Shagasari asks on the Rambam, how does that help? What does it help if he ate Pesach Rishon b'kat Nusa, but there's a Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah about a person who's eaten Cholim, eaten Shota. He has temporary fits of insanity, and he heard Tkiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah when he was in the state of Shigoyin, when he was eaten Shota. And then he becomes healthier later in the day on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says he's not Yotzei the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar if he heard the Shofar when he was eaten Cholim, when he was eaten Shota. When he wasn't in his right mind, as the Hidkir Shofar again. If you fulfill the mitzvah at the time that you were not a Bar Chiyuva, then you're not Yotze. So when you become a Bar Chiyuva, you have to repeat it. So that's what the Shagazari asks on the Rama. How can the Rama say, Kotm Shigdal and Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, Zbukhiv to bring Pesach Sheni, unless he ate the Kazais from the Pesach Rishon last month? Then he's not mechuyev to do now, but eating the katnusoi, that's like doing a mitzvah when he's crazy, when he's eating shaita. So why is that good for later? So the Netziv says, no, but if he does it for the sake of chinuch, then it's okay. So he says, well, dinami, if the kid tied on chutim on his beggar, l'shem chinuch, that's good, he can continue to wear that beggar even after he becomes a bar mitzvah, based on that Rambam, my Korban Pesach, that the Kotten Sheigdal min Pesach Rishon the Pesach Sheni, is Chayv in Pesach Sheni, only provided that he didn't eat Pesach Rishon. If he ate Pesach Rishon, doesn't have to. So the Netziv's granddaughter married Rab Chaim Soloveitcher. Rab Chaim in his Sefer on the Rambam has a whole comment on that Rambam. He doesn't learn like the Netziv. It's not that you can't extrapolate from the Rambam by Korban Pesach Sheni to call it Tarkula. Rab Chaim says, no, that's a special din. Pesach Sheni is only for the people who didn't participate in Pesach Rishon. If he ate in Pesach Rishon, then he's not mechuyev in Pesach Sheni. Not that he was yotzei; he was a katan. Chayav shayt v'katan, they're not yotzei. They're a lab b'nei chiyuvin dina, but that's by definition. Pesach Sheni is only for those who didn't participate in Pesach Rishon. So once you say Pesach Sheni, the pshat and the Rambam is a different pshat. So there's no haychoche to the story by the tzitzis. That's why it's not really right. That's what Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky suggested. The malamdim and the chadorim asked that shayla when they tie the tzitzis. When they teach the children how to tie tzitzis, and some of them are going to become bar mitzvah the same year, so they're going to continue wearing the tzitzis. So Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky suggested that the Rebbe should tie the first knot. Rebbe wind around the first one also, so whatever you do after that is not ma'akev. But the first knot, maybe the first wrapping around, is ma'akev. So he said, the Rebbe should do the first bit. Yeah, how many chutim of tchelus do you need? So that's a big machlekes. So the Rambam's opinion is one out of eight. In other words, a half of a string. Half of a long string is tchelus. How do you dye half of a string? So some people think you take a long string and you dip half of it into dye. If you're going to do that, it won't be kosher because it'll only be dyed on the outside. The inside will be all white. So you have to dye the wool. And then when you make the string, you have to use white wool for one half and then you have to use the blue wool for the other half. So it's always going to be a sloppy mess. It's not going to be exactly 50-50. According to the Rambam, that one string is half tchelus and half lavan, it's going to be a little sloppy. The Rabbi's opinion is that one of the long strings is tchelus and the other three of the long strings are lavan. And the only opinion that they quote in Shulchan Aruch is Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos say it's two and two, half and half, half tchelus and half lavan. So they ask, how can it be that two strings are tchelus? But it says in Chumash, Nos natzit zakan of psil tchelus. Psil means that it's only one string. So the answer is that the word psil in the Chumash doesn't really mean, according to Rashi and Tosfos, as it says in the Targum Onkelos on Pasuk Lamed Ches, Chuta de Tchelta. The Targum Onkelos translates psil Tchelus Chuta de Tchelta. But Rashi and Chumash writes on the Pasuk Naptui Lelikim Niftalti Im Achosi Gam Yacholti when Naftali was born. So Naftui Lelikim means I was wrestling with my sister. They wrestle with each other. And then it says in the Parashas, Hazina Dori Kesh Uf Salto. So what does it mean, Uf Salto? So Rashi writes, Tzidreit. A Tzidreit Dajan. Tzidreit is Yiddish, means screwy. All screwed up. His head is Tzidreit. So here it says, Psil Tchelus means a Tchelus should be wound around. Tzidreit means literally to wind around. That's what it means. A Targum Onkelos translates, Psil Tchelus Chuta de Tchelta. seems to assume that it's only one string, either one out of eight or one out of four, one long one and one short one. But Rashi and Tosafot apparently understand psil tchelis, that tchelis should be wrapped around the lavan. It does mean one string. There are two strings in Shulchan Aruch. That's the only opinion that's quoted, is the Rashi and Tosafot, that it's two and two. Two of the long strings are tchelis, two of the long strings are lavan. It's quoted menegeh to the din of gardume. The Gemara says that tzitzis have to have a certain length. The strings have to be so long. So the Gemara says, as long as it had the right length at the time that you tied it, and then one or two or three strings got ripped later, and it's not the full length, but it has kedei aniva, has a little bit left, and then it's okay. So the Rabbi Natam is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Tosafot quotes Rabbi Natam, reads in the Gemara, you have to have the two units in the tzitzis, Bismanazeh, that we don't have. For many centuries, we didn't have tcheles. So the first tesis on Perek HaTcheles has two opinions. How many strings do you need? You still need four strings to fold over to make eight, but he's saying, no, you only need two strings to fold over to make four. So our practice always was that we had four that folded over to make eight. So then the Rabbi Natam read into the Gemara that if you have four strings that fold over to make eight, and then two of them are remaining Bishlei Musim, they have the right length. And the other two got ripped a little bit, but you still have a little bit kedei aniva. You have a minimum amount left over. But then it's going to be kosher because you have one unit is shalem. One unit of white and one unit of blue is shalem. In Shulchan Aruch, that's the only opinion that's quoted, is the Rabbi Natam, that you need two and two. Then the Mishnah Berurah quotes also from the Malbim wrote a Sefer Atzel Sachaim. So the din is that if you have woolen tzitzis, it patters in every beged. But silk tzitzis is only good on a silk beged, and a cotton tzitzis is only good on a cotton beged. So what if you have, let's say, a silk beged? You want to make some of the strings silk and some of the strings wool. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Malbim and Atzel Sachaim, that's okay, but a whole unit should be the same thing. So you can make two of them wool and two of them silk. Can't make three in one. You can make two of them wool and two of them silk because they're two different units. One unit is a tchelis, one unit is the lop. So he's assuming a double portion. The accepted opinion is that in a time that it's two and two. It's not one out of eight and it's not one out of four. It's two of the long strings. Two of the long strings should be blue. What color exactly is the blue? Is it dark blue like the color of the sky at night? Or is it the color of the sky in the afternoon? So Rashi and Chumash writes, it's the color of the sky at night. Tichlo is Lashon death. It means death to the Mitzrayim. It represents the fact that the Makas Bukharis took place at Chatzi HaLayla, at midnight. So the trailer should be the color of the sky at midnight. It means very, very dark blue. Very dark blue. And the Rambam says, no, it's the color of the sky in the afternoon. It's light blue. So there are some people don't want to wear tchelis because they don't know how to be machriya on the machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. Whether dark blue or white blue, it's a light blue, so they don't want to have it all. That's a question. Is it really ma'akev? Let's say, according to Rashi, it has to be dark blue, like midnight. And according to Rashi, light blue, the color of the sky in the afternoon. So that dark blue and light blue, that's ma'akev b'diyevet. They say, no, as long as it's blue, so it's good b'diyevet. Not so clear that that's ma'akeh b'diyevet. The Pashta says that it would be good b'diyevet. I remember somebody once asked me, is there any source in Talmudic literature that the tchelis is poisonous? So I said, why do you ask? They said he works for the federal government, he's a chemist, and his job is to test, they make sweaters and jackets and pajamas and bathrobes and clothing, women's dresses, and a lot of times people, children, chew on their sweaters. So if it has poison, then it dies. So the government doesn't want the children to get some adults also chew on their clothing. So his job is to check. So he says, for fun, he checked the tchelis, and he says that it's poisonous. The tchelis that they have now is poisonous. He wanted to know, are there any sources for that? So I said, just know this, Rashi and Chumash, that tchelis miloshen tichla, death, unto the Mitzrayim, supposed to represent the Vahibach Tzi HaLayla, Hashem Hikol Kol B'chor. Maybe it's supposed to be poisonous because it's miloshen tichla. We recite this parasha because of the last pasuk. Anoche, Ani Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoceitzi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, because of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I saw on the new And the new Chumash Bamidbar that has the Torah from Rav Soloveitchik, so they quote that we just spoke about it the other day, that the Prima Godim, with this group, a different group, but the Prima Godim says there are four opinions. How much of a Kriya Shema is there Isa? The Ramban is of the opinion only Pasuk Rishon, Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, and everything else is only the Rabbanan, and is based on the Gemara. The first Rashi in Barucha seems to hold that the first Parsha is the Raisa, and the second Parsha is the Rabbanan. And the second Parsha, when it says, Shach B'chav Kamech, goes on Talmud Torah. The first Parsha goes, Shach Kamech, goes on reciting Parsha Shema, and the second Parsha goes on Liman HaTorah Bayom Balailam. Tosis, the first Tosis in Barucha disagrees with Rashi. They seem to assume that both Parshas are the Raisa. But the third Parsha has nothing to do with Mitzvah's Kriya Shema. Third Parsha is a different Mitzvah, Zechiris and Tzias Mitzayim B'chol Yom. And the Rambam has the fourth sheet. The Rambam writes that all the three Parshas are Deraisa, means Vayomer is part of the Mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So that's a Pelet, but it doesn't say B'shach B'chol Kumecho. This is a different Mitzvah of Zechiris and Tzias Mitzrayim. Why should the Rambam think that it's part of the Mitzvah of Kriya Shema? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik mentioned. You look in the Ibn Ezra, he quotes the question that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi asks, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts proclaiming the Aseres HaDibros, he says, Anoch Hashem Elokecha Shehotzei Sichon Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Should he say, Anoch Hashem Elokecha Sheboros Yishamayim Ba'aretz? Why does he only say, Shehotzei Sichon Me'eretz Mitzrayim? So he says, the answer is, Ibn Ezra quotes, I think Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the answer is, they weren't there, the Jews weren't there to witness Bria Shemayim Ba'aretz. The Baruch Hu is telling them something that they witnessed, said, I am the God who took you out of Egypt, and you know historically that it's true, so I want you to listen to my mitzvahs. Mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim is part of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. Like the Rebbe Shalom said, Anoch Hashem Elokech Asher Hotzei Sichon Me'eretz Mitzrayim. You have a historical tradition that this is true. I demonstrated to you at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim that I'm the one and only God, and all the other Rabbi Dezoras were melting down, and so on. So that's what the Rambam is of the opinion. You don't count, he doesn't count Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim every day as a separate mitzvah. The Rambam seems to hold that it's part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, Kabbalah Samach Shamayim, Ayde Haskaras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Like it says, Anoch Hashem Elokecha, Shehotzei Sichon Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Yeah, there's this machlokes, but they need Lishma. If a cotton ties a tzitzit, according to Tosfos, it's no good. According to the Rambam, it is good. If a non-Jew ties a tzitzit, it's no good. Da'bel b'nei esov yosel lahem tzitzit. B'nei esov yosel v'lo umas oylem osel. That's a gemara. If the goy ties a tzitzit, it's no good. So Tosfos claims that that's what it means, that you need a seal Lishma when you tie the tzitzit. So even if a cotton ties, it's no good. Even if a woman ties. Rabbi Natan came up with a chiddush that whenever you need Lishma, so whoever's ain't a b'toris can't create Lishma. So if women would have been chayv in tzitzis, then they would have been able to create Lishma. We paskin that it says Magrama, the women are exempt from tzitzis. So since the women are exempt, so they cannot create Lishma. Whoever's ain't a b'toris cannot create Lishma. So it says in Gittin gives you four different reasons why Nochrim cannot sign on a get, as the Eidei Hasim. So they give you one reason because they ain't a b'toris getting a kiddushim. Then they give you another reason they can't create Lishma. So according to this Rabbi Natan and the Tshuvas HaGadolim like that, it's all the same reason. Whoever is ain't a b'toris cannot create Lishma. The mazel is that women are mechuyev to eat matzah, even though it's a zman groma, because throughout all the centuries the women used to bake the matzahs. So if they had almanas, women would bake. If they're doing a bin, the women would be part of matzah, wouldn't be able to create Lishma. So that's what the Rabbi Natan is of the opinion, that a woman, a cotton cannot tie the chutei tzitzis, and an even isha, who's a bazdas, she's a gdoila, since she's ain't a b'toris, not b'chuyev in a mitzvah, so she can't create lishma either. So Rabbi Kevega on Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Panim Yofes. Panim Yofes is by the Hafloa, the Rebbe of Frankfurt. It was a contemporary Rabbi Kevega. I'm surprised that he had the Panim Yofes. Okay, Rabbi Kevega lived in Germany, so he got a copy, hot off the press, from Frankfurt. So he quotes the Panim Yofes, it has a taich in the pasuk, Zabel b'nei Yisrael v'yamarto alehim. Dibra is usually loshen koshen, and v'yamarto is loshen rako. So he says, Zabel b'nei Yisrael, tell the men, v'yamarto alehim, they should tell their wives, v'yosel lehem tzitzis. The husband should tell their wives, they should tie tzitzis. A remez in the pasuk, the loyker abenitam, that a woman can't tie the tzitzis, that there's no problem, you don't need lishma. Because if you need lishma, a woman is ain't a b'teris, would not be able to create lishma. Yeah, the Gemara says, Talushu'ula is not chayv in tzitzis minatur, because it's kanfei digdei hem, it has to belong to you. If it doesn't belong to you minatur, you never chayv. Talushu'ula, lachal amad yom, if you borrow a talus more than 30 days, then it's a marisayin. People will think that it belongs to you. They won't realize that you're still borrowing it from someone else. But mikra din, if the beggar doesn't belong to you, then you're not chayv in tzitzis. That's why the Gemara quote, the Gemara talks a lot about the Shitas Reb Lezer. Lezer ben Hurkan is of the opinion that if you have a milah b'zmana b'shabbos, not only are you permitted to be mechal Shabbos to perform the act of milah, you're permitted to be mechal Shabbos for the machiri milah, to manufacture the knife. To heat the metal and so on, to melt the metal, to do all the melachas that are necessary, even machshiri milah. So Pashup Shat is that just like Mila is Decha Shabbos, Mila itself is always a Malacha. Mila Bizman is Decha Shabbos, so the Machshim is also part of Mila. That's how the Rishami says. But the Bavli says not so. Bavli says that according to Reb Lezer, not only Machshire Mila Decha Shabbos, Machshire Lulav are also Decha Shabbos. Let's say the first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, and I don't have a Lulav that was detached from the tree. I'm going to hold on to the lulav and the esrog while it's attached to the tree. You're not yotzei. That's a chiddush. You're not yotzei. It has to be detached. Reb Lezer says, that's how the Bavli says, Reb Lezer ben Hurkan, this is all the opinion, you're permitted to detach the esrog and the lulav from the tree, even on Shabbos, menatar machshire mitzvah decha Shabbos. Pashup Shat, you learn like the Yerushalmi. Mila bizmana is decha Shabbos. So not only the mila, even the machshirin is also dinik mila. But over here, nothing is Decha Shabbos. The lulav is Decha Shabbos. Lulav, there's no melachim involved. Lulav is not Decha Shabbos. How can you say, Mechshirei lulav are Decha Shabbos? But that's what the Bavli says. According to Reb Lezer, Mechshirei lulav are Decha Shabbos. You're permitted to detach it from the tree on Shabbos. And then the Bavli says, but there are two exceptions to the rule, tzitzis and mezuzah. If you want to tie tzitzis on the beggar on Shabbos, you're not allowed to, because that's machshire tzitzis. And mezuzah also, let's say I want to nail a mezuzah onto the door. I want to write a mezuzah on Shabbos to put on the door. So machshire mitzvah of writing a mezuzah, or machshire mitzvah of detaching the lulav and the esrog from the tree, that's not Decha Shabbos. Why is that? So the Gemara says, the only time Reb Lezer holds that the machshire mitzvah Decha Shabbos is if it's an absolute chiyuv. There's no way to shake it off. But by the mezuzah, minatur, it's only chsavta mamzuz beisecha or bisharecha, if the house belongs to you. You have a brera, you have an option of being mafka the house. The house is worth more than $1 million, but he doesn't want to be mafkarit. But if it be mafkarit, he won't be mukhiv in mezuzah, mikaredin. He won't be mukhiv in the rabbanim, shumarasan. So since there's a way to pati yourself with the same thing, here, yechayv and tzitzis on a kamfavig dehem, if it's shalachem. If it's tala shu'ula, minatari, you never chayv in tzitzis. So even if it's not a shu'ula, it belongs to me, but I have the ability to be mafka the beggar, then there won't be a chayv at all. So since it's not an absolute chayv, so then Reb Lezer's klal doesn't apply. Then the machshir milan, that dech Hashem. That's the Gemara. That tzitzis and mezuzah are the two exceptions to the rule, because the boy mafka la nichse. So the mafka won't belong to him. Yeah, Tesis has two opinions, whether a rented house or a rented beggar, a borrowed beggar more than the Yosef Mishloshim Yom Mishchayim and Atar Medir Abanon. So the Avnei Nesim says this Gemara is a Rayach Shein Alei Tshuva. It's Beferish in the Gemara. If you mafkir it, then you're not Mechayiv in the Mitzvah. So you see Beferish that it has to belong to you. If it doesn't belong to you, you're not Chayiv in Atar. Okay. A big parasha. Very good. I better take both down. Gotta run down to Mincha. Who's gonna take care of this? You're in charge? Okay.
He's ready around on Sunday, regular time for sure.
Oh, Sunday, Monday, I'm not gonna be here.
Okay.
I have to be out of town.